Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you are listening to the midweek version of the twice-weekly podcast of the Fiber Talk for the Needleworkers.
All right.
Let's see. We got a whole ton of stuff. Tonight, Kathy Ray is back. Now, we moved her up a week. I know I said right out of the gate, every third Wednesday. We moved her up a week because April at the Embroiderers Guild Galleries in Sydney could not do this month's tour early in the month and had to do it later in the month. So now that was going to be the third Wednesday. Now it's the fourth Wednesday because April's trying to get an artist, a quilter artist, to be with us. So now the last Wednesday of the month will be our tour with April at the Embroiderers Guild Gallery. And it's quilt art. So from what the pictures I've seen, it's not just rectangular quilts. It's much more than that. So if you're a quilter or you know a quilter, pass the word. April will be taking us through the tour. So that'll be the last Wednesday of the month. And so we've moved Kathy Ray up to this week. So Thread Talk this week, Wednesday night, tonight, with Kathy Ray. And then next week... Oh, that's right. Next week, if things come together, Krista West from Avlia will join us. Because last Wednesday, we were talking about that peacock motif in the ecclesiastical thing. Okay, well I had hoped she could be on, but it was really last minute, last Wednesday, and she was out for the week. And then so today, we're recording on Monday. So today she wrote to me, sorry I missed you. Well, it wasn't that big a deal. I told her we were able to gush over her without her being there. So she said she would be happy to do a show to talk about ecclesiastical motifs and their meanings and show us a bunch of them.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
And because I told her about the peacock.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are there enough of them that we could do that? She came back with a list about eight. So yeah, there's enough. So we might do that next week. Well, I'll see what her schedule is. We might have that next week with Krista West and explore some of that ecclesiastical embroidery. Cause I said to her that we had talked about the peacocks could become an embroidery design all by themselves. And we'll see if she comes up with that. It won't surprise me. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, and I love the new sun, Aegean sunrise. I think it's called.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I just love that.
Yep.
The colors, and there's a stitch that I don't know that she does on there, the Romanian couching.
Yeah, something. Yeah, I'd never heard of that either. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, all right. So I learned something new.
Yep.
I need a new project.
Well, I'm sure she can fix you up with that one. Yep.
I'm sure she can.
Next Wednesday, we'll see if we can have that happen. Then the fourth Wednesday will be April from the Embroiderers Guild Gallery with needlework, quilting art. And then Lee is her last name. A Japanese lady, gold work.
Margaret Lee.
Margaret Lee. Is the exhibit in June. Calm down. Oh. Calm down. So she'll be the tour in June. And I don't know if it'll be right away in the 1st of June, but April was working on having her be with us. Now, I did a show with her a year ago, a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous stuff. Yeah. Well, anyway, she's the exhibit in June. So buckle up for that. Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous work.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. Man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's coming up in June. So other than that, Wednesday nights are going to be utter boredom. Utter boredom. Yeah. Yep. Yes, and spread the word. You know, spread the word about Wednesday night shows. We have a really solid audience, 90 to 100 people every week. More would be better. Spread the word. Let people know that we do this every Wednesday. And we have a great time doing it. So
it is a lot of fun. And we love the questions. I mean, it's always fun to see your questions, to see you know, you interact with what we're showing too. It's just fun.
Yep, it is. We have a great time. So join us tonight. And it's just, well, I was going to say it's just an hour, but invariably it's an hour and 15 minutes. So last Wednesday, if you hadn't had dinner with the family, we'd have probably gone 2 hours.
I know. And I think that they were all waiting for me outside there. They looked, are you finally done? Can we eat?
Dinner is getting cold.
Time to eat.
Yeah. So, all right. So we have all of that going on in addition to the Amanda Rose, Mary Jane Fry at Sassy Jack's, the Botany Bay sampler at Sassy Jack's, the Spring Hill sampler at Needle in a Haystack, the Joanna Kavanoff Take Wing sampler at Sassy Jack's, all those things going on. Talked about them 100 times. You can find them anywhere, any place. I put the links in the show notes so you can find them there. But join us for those things. And then Sunday, Terry Bay will be our guest.
So, fabulous.
Yep. Some white work, some drawn pulled thread work, black work. Yeah, all of it. Terry Bay, amazing talent. I look back, it's been 3 years now since I last talked to her.
Oh, really?
I couldn't believe it. Yep. It was like February of 81 or 7. 81.
Wait a second.
78, right? That'd be 3 years. Yeah.
78.
Is that right? No, 18. 2018. 18. February of 2018 was the last I talked to her. Okay. I need a nap.
You do.
Clearly. I need a nap. Yes.
Too funny.
Yep. So Terry Bay Sunday. Don't miss it. It'll be good. No. And that one this past Sunday with Susan K. Winter and Jackie McDonald from the Royal School, that Stitch Bank, oh, am I excited to see that come to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I haven't had a chance to listen to that. I've been with family, but that's on my list to listen to. I think I can download it and listen on the plane ride home. So
that's the way to do it. Yep. Yep. Yeah, so that was really good. And Fiber Talk is going to be sponsoring a Stitch. We're noodling about what Stitch we're going to sponsor, but definitely going to have a Fiber Talk sponsored Stitch in the Stitch Bank, without a doubt. Yeah.
Yay. Yep. That'll be great.
Yeah, you know, mentioning that about downloading the thing, somebody wrote to me the other day. I won't use her name. I actually remember her name. Most of the time, I don't remember the name. But anyway, she said she absolutely hates podcasts, but she really likes Fiber Talk. So that was good. That was good. But she had just discovered, she'd seen us on YouTube and had just discovered that there's a website. And it just reminded me to remind people, I put that, make a video every show that goes on the website or on the YouTube. But the WeTalkFiber.com is where the podcasts reside. And it's a true podcast. It's designed to be audio only, so you can download them and listen to them. And the majority of people, as I've said a lot, the majority of the people do that. You just get them through an app. You really don't need anything else. Just go to your podcast app in your iPhone, or if you have an Android phone, Stitcher is a really good podcast app. And you just look up Fiber Talk and subscribe, and then the shows, each time there's a new show, it gets downloaded to your device. And so like in best case, you know, you can download a bunch of them. And when you're on the plane and you don't have Wi-Fi access, you don't need it. It's all there and you can just listen. Right. And that's the way to do it. I mean, there's 30,000 people listen to every show. And, you know, you can look at the YouTube numbers and it's just a few hundred most of the time. That's because the vast majority are listening to it through podcast apps or just going to the website and listening to it there. But, so check that out. It's a whole lot easier and more convenient to do it that way. Then you can listen in the car or when you're out for a walk or whatever it is you right. do. That's the way to do it. So, because the pictures that I put on YouTube are just still shots from the designer. You know, it's not like there's a talking head there or anything.
Right.
So, We could have a talking head, but to me, that's really boring.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to see that. That'd be kind of disturbing, actually.
Yeah, it would creep me out. But... yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, try that. Try that. It's a whole lot easier and automatic. And then make sure, though, if you don't want to save an episode, that you let it run all the way to the end till the music stops, and then most apps will automatically delete it, so that it doesn't you don't pile them up in your phone or your tablet or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Taking up space.
Yep. But that's the way to do it. Yep. Then you get a bunch of them, or listen every week, however it is you do it. But put them on in the car, drive your spouse nuts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
It's always fun.
Yep. So, all right, all of that going on, because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've been traveling.
Yes.
Two different trips here in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So correct. talk about how you're doing stitching, because you've been stitching right along, because you did the 100 days, and that today's yes. Monday, and that's the 100th day, right?
Correct. I actually stitched on my piece. I just have to load the photo up to Instagram.
Yeah. But, so that did you do Anya's Day the entire time, or did you do some other things?
I did some other things, but I got bogged down in them, and I thought, no, I want to keep stitching on something for 100 days. So I just pulled out Anya's Day. So stitching while I travel, I always try to pick something that I can do either in the car, or we camp. We have a little camper, and something small that doesn't require a lot of different threads. And most of the time I try to take something that I'm not afraid to lose. Now, if I had lost Anya's Day, I would probably cry. but it's not the end of the world. It's not like I've spent a lot of time on it, but there's not it's a huge hank of silk. I have a piece of linen and time.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's not a lot of huge investment on it. I would never take a piece that had a lot of silk threads, you know, lots of different colors that I had to change out. That's just too much. I'm afraid of losing things.
Yeah.
But I always take something to stitch, because if not, I get anxious. Even if all I do is look at it while I bring it along, which has happened. But at least I know it's there with me. If I have a few minutes time, like when my kids were little, and, you know, I might have 5 minutes to stitch, I would take those 5 minutes and I would take them to stitch.
Mm-hmm.
But I always brought stitching along. Always.
All right. So what is your travel setup? A hoop?
A hoop? A hoop. Scissors that you're not afraid to lose. I like buying them when they have their end of the school or the school year sale, the blunt edge. You know, the blunt tip ones,
yeah.
That are, you know, 50 cents. And that way, if they take them at the airport, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And needles. That's the only, and then the thread. That's pretty much what I take.
So like with Anya's Day, then that's a simple little kit because it's single color thread. So it's just
right.
your ground cloth, the one color of thread, needles, hoop, and
a pattern.
Yeah, and you're good to go.
And right, and I do have magnifying glasses. Mm-hmm. Getting older, but that's all I use. I know my mom said, "Well, don't you want something better?" Like she was suggesting the thing you put over your neck and you look through. And I said, "No, this works perfectly for me."
Now, what about light? Do you try and have a light, or are you able to work with whatever ambient light's available?
I work with whatever light I have available. I'm thinking, though, I need to invest in that halo light.
Mm-hmm.
That's rechargeable. It's just wherever you go, the light's not. It's not always good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and I asked because on this day you're stitching on a fairly dark ground cloth, so light kind of gets. Light gets kind of critical. Yeah.
Right. So I just choose where I'm going to stitch on that piece.
Okay.
But I'm almost always bring a Mill Hill bead kit. And I know you're not a fan of those because of the paper. But what I like about those, you know, the most expensive ones maybe are $15. and everything's in there but your scissors. So if you lose the whole thing, you're out $15.
Yeah, you'll live.
That's not. Yeah, you'll live. You'll live. And it's a larger count. It's 14 count paper. And so it's easy for me to see.
Mm-hmm. So it, if the light is not really good, then you can break that out and still do something.
And still do something.
Yeah, okay.
And get my stitching time in. And I need, for me, I pretty much stitch every day. Even if it literally is only for 5 minutes. If that's all I get, that's all I get. And, but if I have 5 minutes, if I put in 3 or 4 stitches, I'm happy. You know, I feel like, okay, I've made a little progress. I'm calm now. I can move on with my day.
Yep. Well, see, that's interesting. Because now, see, I don't have that. I prefer to stitch when I know I can sit down for a period of time. And I've never developed the habit of sit down and do 3 or 4 stitches and move on. And that's a good thing to have, because I'm sure that it's amazing how much progress those 3 or 4 stitches every so often make.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And with Anya's day, I one of the reasons I hadn't loaded the image up was I was looking to see if I had one from when I started working on it for the 100-day project. And I think I cleared it out of my off my phone. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, too bad. But I mean, most days I only stitched on it 15 to 30 minutes. Most days.
Yeah.
And it's a huge amount of progress that I made on that piece.
Oh, you've gone. Oh, it's frightening how much you've done in that 100 days. It's amazing.
Yeah. And if I had only worked on that piece, which I couldn't do because you're right, it's dark fabric, tight weave. It made my eyes hurt at night. I couldn't, just like, okay, no matter how much light I put on it, I just couldn't see it. But I was amazed by how much work I got done. I was just shocked when I look at where it was even in November, which was the last picture I could find on my phone. I was like, wow, I have really gotten a lot done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just 15 minutes a day, you know, all you need to do is make sure your needle is threaded or you have thread available. Put the hoop on, work for 15 minutes, and it's just shocking.
Well, and that's the thing, is that is a giant piece with a ton of X's in it that is, yeah, in general, just takes a long time. And when I look in 100 days how much you've done, it really does show what just doing a little bit every day can do in terms of moving a project along. It's really been illustrative to me that you don't need 4-hour stints every day to make progress.
Right.
Just a little bit. Yeah, you've really done. It's been amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I find that relaxing to pick up a piece, especially that piece, because it's monochromatic. Some of it is very, very repetitive. You know the pattern. I know the pattern. I can say, okay, I don't want to think today. I have 15 minutes. I'm just going to work on this pattern that I know what I need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
just go. And some of it is a little more complicated where I have to constantly look at the pattern. But for the most part, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's been amazing. And it really is, as I said, an excellent illustration of what just a little bit every day can do. It's,
right.
Yep. I need to develop that habit. I don't have it. Yeah. And
I think you'd find it relaxing. I think just doing just a little bit. And you know, something that isn't complicated if you're tired.
Yeah. You know. Well, when I get my new, when we get moved and I get the room set up, that's one of the things that I'm going to work on is when I need a mental break from staring at the computer screen to just turn around and do just that. Just do a few stitches here and there and just kind of keep something moving, but completely remove my mind from the work. And because that, you know, that's one of the things that, like, if I finish editing an article, so say I've got a feature article and I edit it. And a lot of times, if it's not really well written, that's a 3 or 4 hour process just to go through it one time, to edit it and clean it up, rebuild it, put it back to, you know, all the things that go into it. It's easily 3 or 4 hours if it's not written well. And even if it's written well, it's better part of 2 hours of work. And then I have to walk away from it. Because usually when I edit a piece, I'll go through it twice, sometimes three times, if it really needed a lot of work. But after that first time, I have to walk away from it to get some freshness when I come back to it. And so usually that'll be go do something else. Leave the room, go do something else. And with the needlework right in the same room, I'm thinking that that's the habit I'm going to develop is, all right, I need a break. I'll turn right around, and over here is something really fun to do. And
right.
Take advantage of that, yes.
Right, just to work a different part of your brain, give yourself a different, just refresh yourself, I guess. I don't know how else to put it, you know.
Yeah, well, there's a technique, it's a Japanese technique that has to do with connecting with nature. And the name of that escapes me. I've done several articles on it in the architectural magazine. But that is what it teaches. Is the importance of connecting with nature. So if you're doing intense work, then take a break every so often and go connect with nature. Go for a walk. Go, you know, even if you just go into your own garden, something that connects you with nature, and it refreshes you in ways you don't realize. And then when you come back, you have a better perspective on it. And it's why a lot of, if they're correctly designed, business buildings will have atriums with plants in them. You know, that's a thing to do, is leave your office and go to the atrium where the plants are and connect with that nature. And you'll see some office designs, some building designs, where they'll have things that are fake nature, like fake plants, or they'll have wood where it's all glass and steel, but they'll have wood. Well, wood, that's all it takes to connect you with nature. And so the teaching in this technique is to find a way to connect with nature, to take yourself away from whatever you're doing. And then when you come back, you'll be better at it. And, but you know, it's, and I know it's that chain, that mind thing. And, you know, you look at needlework, linen, fiber, threads, whatever. I mean, there's your nature connection right there. And, I'm going to take advantage of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, just, you know, getting up, moving to a different spot, and then looking at, you know, the feel of the fibers in your hands, the fabrics, it's just, it would be different than touching the computer keys and that light and screen and
all of that. So
have you started thinking of where you're, because I know you've packed a lot of your stitching up, so have you kind of mentally or started actually on a piece of paper planning where you're putting things in your new space? Do you have shelves ideas?
Yeah, I have rough ideas. So I'm going to have a full bedroom, I don't know, 10 by 14, something like that. A full bedroom completely to my own. So I already know, like my work desk and work computer will be there. My stitching table and shelving will be there. I'll have a full double closet. So I'll be able to put shelving in there to handle all the stash stuff. So that it's out of the way. Part of it is to make sure that I have some room left when I put all this stuff in. Like you can actually walk around the room, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's, and I have to put in sound panels, acoustic panels around the room so that I can record without echo. So I got to figure that out. And that's been a bit of a research right there, just to figure out how many and where and so on and so forth, because I have to do that. And it's a hardwood floor, so a big rug, in the center, and then a couple panels hanging from the ceiling. I mean, I have to do that just to be able to record without echo. So that's part of it. But then to have work surface, so I mean, I already have the surface. I think I'd like to add another table. I keep going back to Orna Willis and mm-hmm. her room, her massive, beautiful room. But
yes.
the thing, which I will not have, but the thing that keeps in my head is she has that big table in the middle.
Right.
That big, and I won't have that kind of room, but I want to have some kind of a table in the middle where stuff can get spread out.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
And the only reason I'm thinking of this is my sister has in her kitchen, it's like a butcher block table. I was looking at it and I was like, oh, this is a butcher block. And but it's on rollers and underneath she has places to put dishes and then it was custom made. But I'm thinking if you wanted a table, maybe you should make sure it's on rollers. If you've got a hardwood floor,
yes,
you can roll that baby around.
Exactly. You and I are thinking alike. Yes. Yes, exactly that.
That would be fabulous. And then especially if it had like the drawers underneath, you might not need that empty space like my sister needs for her pots and pans. But,
right.
You know, something so you could store things in there, but still light and easy enough to roll it around.
Right. Well, see,
to cut fabric.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. That's it. And that's why I want that surface, because to lay out a big piece of linen and be able to manipulate it and have the room. Yes, exactly.
Or if you're like, you're working on something and you decide, oh, you know, I really don't like that, those colors. And so you throw a different colors in. I was listening to Jean at the Attic and they were discussing a sampler and the colors, it took her a while to pick the colors for the sampler.
Uh-huh.
And she said, yeah, we had it on a table and we were, oh no, that color didn't work. So she'd pull it out and put another one next to it. And then they'd walk away and do it again later.
Yeah.
I could see doing that on that table.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. A surface that you can do that kind of thing on and then make the conscious effort to not let it become a collector.
Right.
You know, it keep it empty if I'm not using it.
Mm-hmm.
So that every time I want to use it, I don't have to first clean it off.
You know? Which is always the problem.
Yeah, that kind of defeats the purpose, quite frankly. So,
right.
And then see, the other thing I got talking about this with Jennifer last week, when we got talking about ergonomics, if I can find one where I can raise and lower the legs easily.
Right.
See?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I got to look for that too. I got a feeling IKEA will have exactly what I need. I have a feeling.
I was thinking the same thing. I was going to say, have you looked at IKEA?
I have a feeling they'll have me covered. Yeah. Yeah. So that's important to me in addition to what I already have. And then, lighting. The rooms we have, the bedrooms, the two bedrooms, one's going to be Margaret's office and one's going to be mine, do not have a light in the ceiling. So one of the first things we're going to do is have an electrician come in and put lights in the ceiling. But one of the things that I've learned with my setup now is the light in the ceiling is behind me. So when I lean over to work on something on my table, I create a shadow on the work. And, you know, so it's like, I need some light. So then I have this little light that's between the wall and the back edge of the table that I turn on. And that helps, but it's just one light. So I need to figure out a way to have three or four lights that can shine at different angles to fill in so that when I work at my normal stitching table, I have, you know, I'm not in shadow.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's hard to, you know, because you don't just want halo lights all around.
No. So I don't know. There's a solution for that. I just don't know what it is right now.
Right.
Have to figure that out. So, I don't know. But I picked up a couple of ideas, okay? Now, this was kind of a thing. Mary Jo Eckert, who is a member of the Fox chapter, American Needlepoint Guild Fox chapter here in Northwestern Illinois, she wrote to me, and she didn't mean anything about it, but it really caught me. She said, "I was listening to you talking again about storing and organizing." And I thought, oh, talking about it too much, if that's what she's saying, probably ought to find something new. But she had an idea. What she does when she finishes a project, rather than taking the time to put all those threads away, she has a drawer. And it's a drawer of threads that need to be put away. And so she just puts those threads in that drawer. And so that gets them off the tabletop.
Right.
And then she said, you know, and then sometimes you need one of those threads. Well, they're handy. And then, then when she has some, you know, 15 minutes of idle time, then she'll open that drawer, and it could be a box or a basket, doesn't matter. And she'll take all those out and put them all back where they belong.
Right.
But I thought that was a really good solution for the bad habit I and so many people have of finishing a project and not putting away all the pieces, and then they build up.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. So that was a good idea.
And I like that because it's, and like, as I have mine, I was keeping like a little basket. I was just throwing them in that basket. And then, but then it's not out of sight. It's right there. And it was kind of like, okay, this is overflowing. I'm going to be leaving for a week. I better clean this mess up before I leave my husband I just didn't want it being in his way. And, but the drawer idea is great because then it's not so unsightly, you know, having the stash of threads coming out of a basket after a while. It's like, oh, I got to do something with this mess.
Yeah. Drawers. Yeah. And then they're protected. They're protected from dust and other things.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought that was a good idea to have that.
I like that. I like that idea.
And then Carrie Noss, Noess. I need to ask her if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But she wrote to me and said I should go to YouTube and look up the Crafty Organizer. Noreen Burke, Burke. She's a professional organizer. And she has a series of videos where she offers tips and then shows how she has organized craft rooms for people who've gotten out of control. But I have a sense that her main business, because she has at least one person that works with her, I think her main business is going into homes and saying, all right, this is where things need to go in this room and where things need to go in this room for best efficiency. But anyway, she focuses in the Crafty Organizer because she's the organizer fairy or something. I don't know what she calls herself. But the Crafty Organizer aspect looks at craft rooms. And I've watched a few of her videos, and she really is very helpful. It's really good stuff. A couple of those rooms that I've watched her, it's like they have just completely out of control, like stuff just piled and leaned everywhere. And then she goes through, but it isn't just let's put this stuff away, but it's let's organize it so that it's useful. So one of the things, one of the tips that she offers is if it's something you use a lot, then it goes within an arm's reach.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's something you use quite a bit, but not a lot, then that goes within reach where you can stand up and reach it or take a step and reach it. You know, and then it radiates out from there to the stuff that you almost never use.
Right.
And that, you know, that organization principle, that's really good. That was helpful.
It makes so much sense because, you know, think of where you sit and do your stitching. I have my scissors are right there. My tweezers are right there. And my tackle bar is right there.
Yeah.
Now, a little further away is my colored pencil, which I don't always need depending on what I'm stitching. So it's, you know, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it helps you. It helps you because you can start to see, all right, an arm's reach. All right, I need all these things. At most, you have to turn your chair to get to it, at most.
Right.
And, so, yeah, that was really, really helpful. And then another thing that she had that was for organization, like if you're organizing a room, don't micro-organize. For instance, take all of your stuff that's for painting or all of your stuff that is for quilting and organize it into massive groups like that.
Oh, okay.
Because she said that one of the things is if you're organizing, people say only touch things once. She said that you can't really do that effectively because that means you have to micro-organize. Some things you just have to touch two or three times to get them where they're supposed to go. But the first thing is group the things by technique or type or whatever it is and get yourself at least organized that way. And then you can start to tackle each one individually in terms of what you want to do with it.
Right.
So,
and that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was good. But then going with that is one thing we were talking about before we started recording that you were mentioning about making that decision that you're not going to use this stuff again.
Right. And then it's just time to move it out. It's, you know, maybe you, you know, and I used to scrapbook when my kids were little, I did a lot of scrapbooking, but I'm not scrapbooking anymore. And it's time to get rid of some of this stuff. It's just not, it's taking up too much space. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go back to doing it. And even if I did, you know, they change the style, the papers change, everything changes.
Uh-huh.
And you might as well get rid of the old stuff and enjoy your space. I remember I heard someone once say, you know, you are paying rent on that. You know, it is taking up, you know, it truly, you know, if you're keeping something for someday when you're going to use it, well, that's nice. But so you're keeping something and it's taking up all this valuable space. You might as well get rid of it and have a little more space.
So, right. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yep.
What are you laughing at me for?
No, because I mean it's just so true. Because and scrapbooking is a classic example. I mean that scrapbooking showed up almost overnight. There were stores everywhere, and then 3 days later they were gone.
Right.
And you or someone else has told me more than once that it became more digital.
Right. It did. It went digital. And I do know people who do still physically scrapbook, but they kept up with all their kids and they do something that I would say is very fast. They just piece of paper, put the pictures on, write the name and date and moved on sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of got into the, you know, die cuts, putting, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I need to get rid of this stuff. It needs to go. If I'm going to do anything with the pictures, they're going to go slap on a piece of paper and throw it into an album so we can look at them rather than
right.
just hanging out. But I just don't have the, that's not what I'm into doing right now.
Yeah.
And so.
But see, I think that's the key right there. You've made that decision. That's the hardest part, is making right. that decision that I'm done with this and it needs to go. Yeah.
And I have slowly been moving stuff out. I have a friend who works with underprivileged children, and I had a ton of stickers. Well, little kids, they love stickers. And I said, okay, these aren't organized, but you may have all of them. She was so excited. She was like, oh, yeah, they'll be happy. They don't care at that age. They just want to put stickers on stuff.
Right.
And I was happy because I got rid of, you know, a big notebook full of stickers that I wasn't using. So
yeah,
it was a win-win. Yeah. And it was going to a good cause. And that's the other thing. If you're like, well, you know, you don't want to just throw it away. Goodwill, find underprivileged, find a teacher maybe, you know, who might be able to use it for crafts in her classroom. There's all those opportunities.
Yeah.
For any sort of craft that you're not using. Right. And I know teachers have to pay for those things.
Right. And isn't that it? That's it. You want to get rid of it, but you'd sure like it to go to somebody who's going to make use of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the other excuse I hear, and I do it myself, well, I paid good money for this. But if it's just sitting there and you're not using it, then it doesn't rent. Really matter.
You're paying rent on it.
You're paying rent on it now, too. It's just more stuff.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a principle of retail inventory management is if it's sitting around X number of weeks, it's costing you money. Get it out of here.
Right. Get it and move it out. Move it out. Yep. And I would say the same. I know, like even our craft, our stitching supplies. I bought something specifically to stitch for a friend. She passed. I don't want to stitch it. I don't even know if I want to look at it. It's got to find a home. It's got to go because it's just taking up space. And I know I'm not going to stitch it. I specifically bought it with her in mind.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone else who would want to stitch it.
Right. And now it has feelings for you that make it difficult to even pick it up. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so I might as well go somewhere else and find a nice home. Not mine.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. So that was really helpful then. That Noreen Burke, the crafty organizer, and then Nancy, I have no idea how to say this, Barris. I'm going to go with Barris, Barreiss. Put us both on to something that we didn't know existed. There is a Facebook group, of course there is, called Cross Stitch Storage Ideas. And I spent a little time with that, and there's some good ideas in there too.
Well, I have to go and poke around there because I need that's it, you know, it's the threads and all that stuff. But it'd be nice to be more organized with that stuff so you're not like, okay, I know I have this project now. Where did I put it? Sort of. I need to.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah. So that's that one. Oh, and that Noreen, you know, cross stitch storage ideas. Invariably, when people ask, you know, how do I store threads? The first thing is to the container store to get stuff. Mm-hmm. And this Noreen, if you watch two or three of her videos, she points out that a lot of times all those cute little containers end up causing more trouble than they're worth. Oh. Because they take up space, mm-hmm. and they look like a good idea, and then when you get home, you don't use them effectively, and pretty soon you have a bunch of them. And if you really look at what they're storing, it can be done in a fraction of the space and be better organized. And so now you have all these boxes, and what do you do with them?
Right, right. And
yeah, that was really instructive. She had one where she was redoing someone's space, and she showed the pile of basically cardboard boxes with wrapping paper wrapped around them to make them look pretty and or container store type products all piled out on a patio. You know, we don't need any of these anymore. I thought, holy smokes. How many times was that going to be the solution? And it wasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why I hesitate to buy anything because it's like, is this going to work? Because I have done that. I've, you know, someone said, well, get shoe boxes and wrap them and label them with, and I'm like, okay, that didn't work. Okay, that didn't work. So, you know, now what do you do? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
There's always that.
Yep. And another great idea, you can tell I've been watching her videos. Another idea I thought was really great when it comes to fabrics,
mm-hmm.
she has you put them in Ziploc bags and then do some kind of alphabetical thing, like if it's by color or print or who cares what, but some kind of right. alphabetical thing, and then put them in drawers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like an old dresser.
Yeah.
Even.
But in bags with a label on them so that you can go through alphabetically. You know, I need the turquoise ones. All right, you go to the T's. There they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. And doesn't take up a lot of space because the bags, as opposed to boxes, don't take up near as much space. So,
right, right. Boxes, yeah, they do take up space.
A lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff from, you know, I'm just really sensitive to it because I have this room now that I need to organize. And
right.
I don't want to do it three times.
No. So are you going to hang anything on the walls other than your sound panels?
A TV. Yeah.
Okay.
That's about it.
Important stuff.
Yeah. I don't want to have threads out because I don't want them exposed to light and dust.
No. I agree.
Yeah. I'm kind of a stickler about that. Same for ground cloth. So all that gets put away. So no, it's not much. Cause the sound panels are going to take up a good portion of the at least three of the walls, just to kill the echo. Got to do that. So no, I'm not too worried about that. No.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah. So we'll see how it plays out. I know I have to have that because I have to have that because it isn't just Fiber Talk podcasting. It's podcasting for the magazine I edit, and then there's another opportunity that's coming up with a big corporation that I might be doing a whole series of podcasts for. So I really have to have the sound right for all of those things. So, you know, pretty things on walls have to take a back seat. just can't do it.
Well, right. And I was even just wondering if you were going to put some shelving up or anything like that.
Probably not. No, we'll have to see. That's an interesting thing. I'm hoping that the closet handles most of that. Mm-hmm. I really do. I hope that takes care of just about all of that because I'm really conscious about having a room where there's space to move around in it.
Right.
You know, I don't want to have this little path that you move around furniture.
Right.
You know, want to be able to spread out and yeah. So.
Right.
We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Yep. Yep. All right. Oh, holy smokes. Time. You know, time all the time.
Oh.
So you got to go to. I was kind of jealous. You got to go to a needlepoint store.
Yes.
In Albuquerque. What was that store? Yes.
Twisted Stitches.
Okay.
Needlepoint. And she is mainly a needlepoint. Well, she is a needlepoint store. But I was speaking to the owner, whose name is Susan. And she said when COVID hit, they heavily invested in threads. They figured you could order your canvases online. But getting threads was going to be, well, I think when she said they opened the store, they wanted to have threads available for people. Oh my, she had wonderful threads. Yeah, that was fun.
That little tour you did, I could just see your tongue hanging out like, holy smokes.
Oh, and look at all these colors and the different textures. And it was just wonderful to be able to go. And I highly recommend if you can stop at a local needlework store, whether it's Cross Stitch or Needlepoint in a town you're visiting, you know, things are starting to open up. Make sure you follow whatever their protocol is. But they might have something that you haven't seen before, something that, you know, that might just tickle your fancy, just might be just what you need to spark your imagination. She had a lot of crescent color threads, and then she had the Avera Soie there too, which was interesting. And Krynek, she had drawers and drawers of Krynek. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
And stores like that, what's on the rack is one thing, but don't ignore the drawers and the cabinets that are all closed up, because a lot of times there's treasures in there that you don't know exist. Yeah.
Right. And I kind of, they obviously had a little office, and I kind of peered in. She had, you know, the 18 count canvas, in different colors on the big rolls that you could pull off and cut. So she had that back there. But I also noticed I noticed a drawer that said Floche on it. I thought, she has Floche. I wonder what they use Floche for. But I didn't ask her. I was like, oh, no. But yeah, beautiful threads and just and very knowledgeable and an interesting person to talk to too. And then the other, what made me, we were talking earlier, we were going to set up something just you could turn around and stitch. She'd open the back of her shop to have retreats or stitching time. And a lady had a big frame set up with a Christmas tree skirt. And so she happened to be, I went to the store twice. so the second time the lady was there and I asked her, I said, oh, where'd you find this? Is it beautiful? She goes, someone pulled it out of the trash can and paid $3 for it at a garage sale, basically.
Whoa.
And it was hand painted, canvas. Whoa. Huge Christmas tree. Yes.
Whoa.
So that was a great story.
Probably a $500 piece. Yeah.
Yes, at least. You know, beautiful piece. And she was doing a lovely job, but it was too big for her, I think. You know, it was a big piece. So to stitch that in your home isn't always maybe comfortable. So she just set up the shop. And obviously they met together maybe once a week. And she sat there and stitched with her friends and visited. Which, what a great thing for a shop to do, a great way to meet with people. So starting to open up, you know, with the people are feeling more comfortable getting the vaccine. You should, check out your local shops, see if they're allowing you to meet in their rooms and, lots of social distancing in that room. So she was like, I allow 6 people in here at a time.
Yeah.
In the back room to sit and stitch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. And we need that. We need that interaction with other people.
Yep. Yeah, it's something. Yeah, 6 people. Right. Yeah, it's at least something. It's a start. Yes.
Yeah. Right. And again, how neat, to be in a shop and then, you run out of a thread.
Yeah.
Are you need a thread?
Yep.
And there it is.
Lo and behold.
I also found it interesting. If you look them up, I think Debbie Rowley is doing a pilot class there. And I meant to look when she was teaching. But Debbie Rowley is going to be there.
Yeah. 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 Teachers are starting to get out now. Starting to see some able to travel and yep. It's good. It's good. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you hit the mother load. I mean, that store, and it was line after line of threads, and it looked like just about all of them, they had all the colors.
Right. That's what she said. She said if she was going to bring a line in, she was going to try to get the whole color line. She didn't want someone to feel like, oh, I thought you would have this.
Yeah.
So as much as they could, they had the whole thing.
What fun. What fun.
It was great. Yep. It was great fun.
Yep. Good deal. All right. I think we're going to call it there. Yep. So tonight, Kathy Ray, Sunday, Terry Bay, Ray and Bay coming up. That's how I'm going to market it to. Never mind. I'm not going to market it. yep. And Ray and Bay.
And then next week. Maybe Krista West on Wednesday.
Yeah, if we can work it out. Yep. Yep. And then the week after that, Sydney, Australia for quilt art. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Got it all working here. We're trying hard. Yep.
It'll be fun.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right. Bye.